Hello there. Nice to have you with me again in the Psychology Report. This is really part two of a topic I started yesterday. And the general topic is the darnest things that kids do. That was a takeoff on a TV program many years ago by the personality, TV personality, Art Linkletter, when he interviewed children and played out some of the strange and unusual and funny answers that kids gave to questions that he posed to them. So but now we're going to look at not only what kids say, but the darnest things that kids do. And sometimes we're confused by why they do these behaviors. I looked at yesterday at some of the things that they hit each other, they cuss, they have headaches, they have stomach aches, they have low grades, they have nightmares, things like that. I mean, these are things we have to deal with then as a parent. And we have to kind of confront these issues and understand them and help the kids work them through so they become more appropriate in their behavior patterns and behave in a very normal and positive and kind of mature, healthy way. Now, this is part two. Today's part two. I'd like to pick up on that and just say, look at, kids also throw temper tantrums. They cry and throw temper tantrums. Of course they do. You know, if a kid wants his way, he's going to get it, one way or another. If he cries and gets his way, he'll cry more. And then if he cries again to get his way and gets it, he'll even cry more. Or same with temper tantrum. If a kid throws a temper tantrum because he wants something, and you say no, and then you give in because he threw a temper tantrum, he'll throw temper tantrums again in the future. And it'll get worse. It'll get stronger and more violent and more persistent. So in a sense, you create the temper tantrum. You create the behavior pattern of crying when you give in to a child's behavior of that nature. So if the answer is no, yes, you got to stay with no. The answer is not now, then you stay with the answer not now. But whatever it is, you don't let a child get his way by crying or throwing a temper tantrum. No. What's important is that you help a child understand that there are times that he can have what he needs and wants. But there are times when he cannot have what he needs and he wants. He has to wait. Sometimes he'll never get it. Sometimes he'll get it tomorrow. Sometimes not until next week. Sometimes not till next payday. You know, but whatever it is, you need to explain that. And then you stick with it. You firmly stick with it. And you never let crying and temper tantrums rule the day. Make you change your mind. Make you change your position or change the time that you're going to do something. You do not respond to that kind of behavior. Children need to be helped to find alternative ways of negotiating what they want and discussing what they want and need or think they need so that they can verbally enter into an exchange with you and come up with a reasonable answer. So it's kind of the negotiation kind of behavior that's more appropriate. Even then, you have to keep that in moderation and keep it under control. But you're the parent. You're the one that must win. You're the one that gives the answer. You're the one that stays and sticks with the answer and cannot be persuaded by a child's inappropriate behavior such as a temper tantrum. Now, what about this issue of the answer is no? Yes, kids need to learn what the answer is. They need to learn what the word no means. No means no. 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 No means it's no forever. It's no until you change your mind, and they cannot, and you cannot change your mind by a temper tantrum. Circumstances may change, and then you might change your answer. But not because you've been persuaded by some emotional temper tantrum on the part of the child. So you need to be fair, you need to be straightforward, you need to be reasonable, and you need to think it through before you give an answer. Because if a child doesn't like the word no, you have to make sure that when you say the word no, you mean it, and you're going to stick with it. And a child must learn then to accept it. And that's what you need to do, is help a child accept the answer of no, in the same way that a child accepts the answer of yes. You reason this through. You talk about it. You explain it. And you practice it. And sometimes you say no just for the sake of helping a child learn that no means no. You kind of like do a role playing of that, so that that word becomes a very meaningful word in the child's vocabulary. Okay, now, what about the next one? This is the big one. Children lie. You know, of course they lie. Sometimes they are confused what reality is. Sometimes they do kind of get mixed up in their understanding of a particular series of events, particularly if the events are complex. Sometimes they do get mixed up in timing, or who exactly did what to whom. I mean, there's times of confusion, and that may not be a lie. They actually are confused, and you need to help them think it through, reason it through, see the logic of it, see the sequence of things, and put it in proper order and proper sequence. That's one way to deal with a lie. But there are other times when a kid lies, it's just straight out lying. He knows that this is not the correct answer, but he's lying for some reason. What's the reason? That's for you to find out as a parent. It might be that the child knows that you're going to punish, and he takes his chances of lying, thinking that he can get out of the punishment, particularly if your punishment is going to be severe and harsh. It's like a way to encourage a child to lie is taking the chance to avoid a punishment. That might be the case. But sometimes a kid lies so that they get what they want. They actually say something that's untruthful because they think you will believe it. And if you do believe it, then they'll lie more. So they play their chances, so to speak, when they lie, to avoid a punishment or to obtain something that they really want and are more likely to get it if you believe their story. So it's a matter of kind of discussing it with kids, talking to kids about it, about their lying, and some of the motivations in back of it, the underlying reasons for back. You need to be wise, you need to be thinking through with kids. But most of all, you need to be fair, you need to be kind, and you need to help children replace lying with truthful talking. Truthful talking. Truthfulness must always be encouraged, and you must model it as a parent. You know, if you lie, your kids are going to lie. If they catch you in a lie, you're dead out of the water. They'll lie perhaps forever, because now you've given them permission because you do it too. So you better be careful and not lie yourself, because that's the basis on which children can justify their own lying and stick with it, and intensifies it even further. But there's always a reason for a child to lie. There's always a motivation in back of it. There's always some kind of a hidden agenda. And that's for you to find out as a parent. And that's where discussion comes in. That's where mutual thinking together comes through. Sometimes you need professional help with these things, by the way. Okay, what's the next one? Kids develop fears and phobias. You know, it doesn't take much for a child to develop a fear. A strange event, an unexpected happening in the life of a child might just create a fear, a sense of anxiety. And if it's really intense, it might even create a phobia, which means that that child is going to avoid that kind of situation in the future. That child is going to be afraid of that kind of situation in the future. That child is going to be hesitant to be in those kind of situations in the future. So if a child talks and then you laugh at the child, of course that child is going to be fearful of expressing themselves in the future. And that may go on for the rest of their life. So it's a matter of, are you doing something, are you reacting to a child that would create a fear, you know, create a phobia in the child? Children are very, very sensitive. And if they think you're going to criticize them, they won't do something. They'll be afraid to do something. They'll be afraid to act for fear of criticism. And it will spread then to the criticism of a teacher or of a parent or a minister or a youth leader or whatever it might be. If children get that sense that they're going to be laughed at, they're going to be mistrusted, or they're going to be unbelieved, misbelieved, you know, whatever, then that child will likely develop a fear of that kind of situation, because children want to be trusted. And it's only trust that will help overcome those kind of fears and phobias that they have. And then lastly, let me say this. Children get angry, and they hurt people. They hurt animals. They break things. You know, children have a capability of a very intense level of anger. And if you do something to provoke a child into anger, I mean, that child can react with severe anger, coupled with a temper tantrum, if you will. I mean, then it's really almost impossible So it's important for you to be fair. It's very important for you to explain. It's important for you to help a child understand why you're saying no, or why you're doing what you're doing, or that you're not trying to provoke them to anger, but you're just, in that situation, you had to take an answer, you had to make an answer, you had to make a decision, and you hope that it's in the best interest of everybody, but you're going to ask them to work with you on it and to accept it. You can't let children get angry and then turn around and hurt somebody. Anger is one thing. Anger may be all right. And we all get angry. But we don't hurt things. We don't break things just because we're angry. Anger is a kind of a normal emotion. And you help the child understand what that anger is all about. You help the child talk it out and explain it to you why they're angry. What it is that made them angry. What you did that made them angry. What somebody else did that made them angry. But there's a line. You don't act out to hurt people and animals and break things when you're angry. That's unacceptable. That's inappropriate behavior. So when you punish, you don't punish for the anger. You punish for the hurt and the breakage and the degree to which they mistreated you or somebody else or an animal in the house or whatever it might be. That's what needs to be addressed and punished. And you have to help them sort out. So what you're trying to do, and the goal, of course, is to have a child that does not live with a lot of anger or respond with anger. Not a child that does not respond with violence, but one that responds with verbal expressions and interchange and discussion, and to assertively express themselves so that you know what they think and what they want and what is bothersome, you know, to them. Of course, we have things that happen every day in a child's life that can make them angry, but you have to help the child understand that anger can be contained. It isn't suppressed necessarily, but it can be contained. You don't respond angrily to things and to other people in the form of hurting them. In the day and age which we live, there's a lot of violence going on. Kids see a lot of violence in their videos and their various ways of living their life. And when they live with a lot of video violence, they're going to think violent. They're going to feel violent. They're going to have a sense of violence. And if they're provoked into anger, they'll probably act in violence. So we have to be very careful. You have to be very careful with your anger. You can't overexpress your anger by breaking things or cussing at things or hurting somebody else or hurting somebody else's feelings. As a parent, you have to be one that models and gives the example of what an appropriate way to feel angry but not act on anger and act in anger towards somebody else, so that somebody else is hurt or something is broken. You're the model. You're the example of that. Okay? So here's a tip for the day, so to speak. Very important that you, as a teaching parent, you teach by example, you teach by instruction, you teach by encouragement, and you teach by directing children to do what is obedient, what has integrity, what is the level of responsibility appropriate for the situation, and what is the right thing to do. You model it, you demonstrate it, you encourage it, you teach it. All these behaviors that are inappropriate can be turned around. You can turn the tables on them and help a child behave very appropriately. Okay, this has been the Psychology Report, and before we go, my book site. My books are on my website, booksbyhedberg.com. Great book there on parenting. Dr. Teach Me to Parent. You have a great book there on for children, helping them learn words like no. It's called Kids Alive, Running the Race of Life. It's a great little book for kids to read daily, or for parents and kids together to read daily, and little assignments they can do every day to learn good words. Learn the values by which you want them to live, and to appreciate things that take place in their daily life, and to change things which are inappropriate and negative to that which is appropriate and positive. Kids Alive is a great book. You'll see it on my website, booksbyhedberg.com. So nice to have you with me today, and you have a good one too. Okay, bye-bye.